Welcome to The Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth, best-selling author and co-creator of PaleoParents.com, where we focus on real-life solutions for families seeking health.
I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, New York Times best-selling author and creator of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm passionate about improving scientific literacy around public health topics.
I like hashtags and bone broth.
And I'm just a super nerd.
This is part two of the live Q&A that Stacy and Sarah recorded while Stacy was in Atlanta, Georgia.
I think we should just do like a
rapid fire.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll read it and you give an immediate zinger and then I'll respond. This Heather says, I have 5 autoimmune diseases. What's the best way to start AIP when you love nightshades? She's already grain free.
There's a lot of great recipes out there for what are typically nightshade heavy foods, like spaghetti or pizza or
Mexican
food. There's a lot of recipes in my most recent book, The Healing Kitchen, that I wrote with Elena Haber from Grazed and Enthused. So I would start with like Google search for recipes for that nightshade heavy food that you're craving and see what AIP versions you can come up with. The other thing is nightshades typically give umami flavor to a dish. So looking at other sources of umami, something like olives, mushrooms, fish sauce is an amazing way to get that. So look at these other sort of umami donators. Can I call it an umami donator?
Nom Nom Paleo, I think, has like a podcast and a post about umami foods as well. And while tomatoes are on there and you can have tomatoes, there's a long list of other foods that you can have. What I would recommend is write down a long list of foods that you love and then separate them out into foods with nightshades and foods without nightshades and focus on the foods that you really love that don't have nightshades and then start thinking about how you can maybe adapt some of the foods that you have that do have nightshades. Like, for example, for me, burgers and meatloaf was something that, you know, was really difficult because I loved ketchup and I loved tomato sauce, like smothered all over that stuff. And you know, after a while, my taste buds changed because I focused on non-nightshade foods, where now I prefer honey mustard or mayonnaise on my burgers, and I like to top my meatloaf with bacon strips, or...
Neither honey mustard nor mayonnaise would be AIP.
Oh, yeah. It's no nightshades, though. She said no nightshades.
That's true. I mean, in terms of stepping stones, it'd be much better to go nightshade-free first.
Yes. So, and then also our tomato sauce or your nomato sauce, all that kind of stuff, it's a great replacement as well. And a lot of recipes just call for like a tablespoon of tomato paste. Just leave it out or add fish sauce or whatever. Like, you know, so many times I'm like, oh, I'll just leave that spice out. I don't need to add cayenne. Like, you know, just leave it out. So I think that if you choose foods you do like and just focus on them for a while, your taste buds will eventually adapt. I'm Hungarian and Italian by nature. I grew up with tomatoes and paprika in everything. So it was really quite an adjustment for me to give up nightshades. And I made it. I survived. I still can't have nightshades. But
I really can't.
I can't have honey mustard and mayonnaise and cream. So that's exciting.
I have been experimenting a little bit with potatoes. And as far as I can figure out, there's some varieties that are working for me and some that aren't. But I can't...
It's the skin. It's like the skin and whether it's been soaked is what I find.
My mom had a brand of potato chip that I was able to eat and have absolutely no inflammation from.
Nice.
So now I'm like, okay, there's one kind of potato I know I can have, but I don't know what kind of potato that is in that potato chip. It was pretty magical, though. I was like, this is amazing. Oh, how do you feel about essential oils for autoimmune disease? There's no science to support consuming essential oils, but there actually is some science to support some health benefits from the sort of aromatherapy aspect of essential oils. Not all of the different blends and ones that are available out there have solid science behind them, but some of them do. And I would basically say if you're using it as aromatherapy and you have a benefit from that, there's no harm to that, but I would not recommend consuming them.
I don't do essential oils. I know that... I have friends that love it. It's just not a thing I'm into.
Yeah.
And if it floats your boat and it makes you feel good.
And you're not drinking it.
Right. I liked this comment from Kate. Thank you, Kate. She says that we don't look haggard.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Yeah. The comment is, I mean, she used the G word.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Kate. Okay, so Anne says, what are your favorite AIP packable travel foods? Having just gone through this, I'm happy to answer this question, whether they're prepackaged or made from frozen ahead of time. I really love pork rinds. That's my favorite travel food. You can get ones with just salt on them. The U.S. Wellness meat ones are my favorite. They're salt and black pepper.
There's also that one, Galaxy? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. There's like the rosemary pork cloud one as well.
Yeah, that one's really good. It's rosemary and salt. That one's really good.
Yeah.
One Stop Paleo Shop has a really good collection of them, and they have the ones that are AIP in like a separate like category. So it's like labeled. Yeah. So you could just go like, what are the AIP pork rinds? I love the Epic products.
I love the Epic Bites.
My favorite Epic bar is the Beef Apple Bacon, which is one of three AIP friendly Epic bars. And my new favorite is the Salmon Bites, which are AIP.
Those are my favorite.
You have to enjoy like smoked fish, like smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Which I do because I grew up near the ocean and I think that's just built into me.
Yeah. I mean, if that's something you're into, I like canned salmon and canned tuna, but I wasn't a big fan of
harder
the dried.
To eat those things on an airplane.
Yes. But what I'm saying is that I feel like I was eating cat treats.
Oh, I liked them.
But I really like the Epic Bites.
I have a funny story for you.
Okay. Now?
Yeah. So, my mom and I were hitting the farm stands, and this one place that used to be a garden center that she wanted to go into was actually a farm stand. So we're like, oh, let's go in and see what it's like. So they had like this little farm stand area in the front with some... It was kind of like, it was really eclectic. So they also had all of this, like, they had carded sheep's wool ready to be spun. And then they had, like, hand-spun wool. And then they had, like, a little cafe in the back. And I saw this package. It's, like, grass-fed liver jerky. And I got super excited.
It was pet food.
And I pulled it down. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so cool. I can't believe I found this. And it was dog food.
Yep.
And I nearly bought it anyway. And then I decided not to.
I saw this, like, meme on the internet. Basically, exactly what you just said. Why do we feed our animals better than we feed ourselves?
Yeah.
Okay. Other snacks. Plantain chips. Mm-hmm. And the plantain strips on One Step Paleo Shop. They have the new one. Have you tried the cinnamon?
I like my plantain chips to be savory.
I really like cinnamon.
I've had the cinnamon ones from Artisan Tropic. Is that the brand?
I don't know. It's whatever they have at One Stop Paleo Shop.
I think that's the brand they carry. I've had them. My husband loves them. I prefer the green plantain as opposed to the red plantain.
The Jackson's Honest Sweet Potato Coconut Oil Chips.
Yep.
Although the thing with those is that they crush pretty easy, so you just need to be careful when you're packing.
So do the Artisan Tropic Cassava Chips. I mean, I really love those. Yep. Those to me are like a potato chip replacement for sure. But they do crush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do dried fruit a lot for the kids. So my kids really love the Steve's Paleo dried strawberries that are sweetened with apple juice. They're like fruit snacks and fruit gummies.
We get dried cranberries is one of the ones we carried with us this whole trip.
They're nice because fresh fruit bruises pretty easily. And like we brought fresh bananas with us because Wesley's part monkey and eats at least one banana a day. And they got like nasty and smushed and it was a thing. So I would recommend, you know,
well, not often when you're traveling, like bananas are a really easy thing to find in an airport.
Yeah.
Or
even like at Starbucks, you know, they have bananas at 7-Eleven everywhere.
We were able actually in the Seattle airport, because we went through customs immigration in Seattle, we can bring any fresh food with us. And we were able to get raw veggie trays and fresh fruit cups and hard-boiled eggs that were already peeled in the airport. And it was, like, super easy to bring on the airplane. Add my Epic bar. My husband had RX bars, which are not AIP, but those are his favorite. And then we were good. We all had, like, a really good meal on the airplane.
Yeah.
Other
Is
AIP
that enough ideas? I mean, yeah, the other things are, like, canned tuna, canned salmon. and pure wraps and a jar of mayonnaise. If you get like Primal Kitchen or Chosen Foods, or
they're not a mayonnaise.
Are they not?
No, they have eggs.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Chosen Foods one is nightshade free. I actually got a list of the ingredients because it just says spices. So if you've reintroduced egg yolk, you could do make a chicken salad or a tuna salad or salmon salad.
When I'm like traveling and staying in a hotel, one of my standards is canned oysters and plantain chips because it's kind of like oyster on a cracker. And that's often something I'll have.
And if it's in its own oil, you don't even need, you know what I mean? You could just kind of dress it with the oil that it's packed in.
Yeah.
If you get a good one in good quality oil.
You could pack a lemon and squeeze fresh lemon juice on it. That would be
Pretty intense. It depends on where you are in your paleo journey.
Well, people either love oysters or the opposite of that, the H word.
I would also say be careful, like, if you're on an airplane with breaking out the stinky food, just because
you don't want to offend
people that are.
But I'll do like an Epic Bar, and that smell doesn't care. Like I wouldn't do canned sardines or oysters or something like that. But that's why I like the Epic Bar or pork clouds.
So as far as like cold foods, what we did is we packed a lot of good quality lunch meats, and we also packed our own grass-fed cream so that Matt and I could have cream in our coffee and not like compromise with whatever was around. You can pack your own, like I bring Vital Proteins. I have a big tub of Vital Proteins and ghee. We did hard-boiled eggs. We brought almond milk for the boys, like a carton of almond milk in the event that, you know, whatever. There's a lot of different things that we put in a cooler, and then every time we've gone to a hotel, we've made sure that we booked a room that had a refrigerator.
We did the same
and
thing.
So we move the food into the refrigerator, and then we go to our next stop, we put it back in the cooler, and all of the food has survived over our like 10-day trip or whatever. And so that's been really fantastic to have that stuff. Like earlier today in the car, we were trying to get to your house quickly, mostly because I'm just done being in the car and we didn't want to stop for lunch or anything. Earlier we stopped at Burger Joint and had boneless burgers, or we stopped at Chipotle and had the pork is soy free and is really low on nightshades. It does have some nightshades, but for me, I can do the pork and I can do it like on lettuce with lemon juice. So we stopped at those kind of places, but today was just like, we just rolled up the lunch meat and squirted some mustard on there and rolled it up and ate it. And we told the kids, get over it. They had RX bars and Lara bars, and they were thrilled with that because they think that they're like candy. So, all right, I think that's plenty.
That's a spectrum of travel treats.
Yep. I don't think we need to do that.
I think we need to.
We did a lot of this stuff already.
Let's do that one from Dina. So she wants to try AIP, but it just seems so hard. So,
It is. I cried so many times those first 30 days.
But there's a learning curve. So just like there is for standard paleo, when you first come to paleo from whatever you were eating before, there's a learning curve. So there's a period of time where you're learning, like, what are my new go-to meals? What are my new comfort foods? What are my new things I can keep in the freezer or in the fridge? What are my new portable snacks? What are my new quick things that I can pull together in 10 minutes on a busy weeknight? And there is all of those things within AIP. There are desserts and treats within AIP, and it's just a question of, you know, getting some recipes, getting a cookbook. There's amazing things on the website, on websites all over, right? There's a huge, amazing AIP blogging community, and they're all on the same page in terms of what's AIP and what's not, which is amazing. They're all super supportive of each other, and they all do fantastic work. And so, having a look at their recipes and trying some, and maybe doing a little batch cooking for your freezer, making some leftovers, and experimenting with new foods. And it's okay for it to be hard, but it gets easier. And, you know, I eat still mostly AIP. I have some nuts and seeds, but I certainly don't eat them every day. They're not a staple of my diet. And I just mentioned potato chips, that one brand, one place.
You do egg yolks?
Nope.
Really? Not even a mayonnaise or anything?
I don't do eggs. They were on a food sensitivity panel for me.
Yeah. I thought you brought yolks back.
I thought I had too, and then I gave them up and realized It was better. I have coffee and chocolate again. Those are great quality of life foods to reintroduce. But you know, I'm still, I would say, you know, 95% AIP. And now it's just the way I eat.
Yeah,
you know,
it becomes secondhand.
Great things to eat.
Like for me, you know, I forgot that honey mustard isn't a thing, right? Because for me, I've introduced it and I have no problems with it. And that's kind of where you want to get with AIP. And that's what you can hold on hope to when you're starting. It's like, eventually you will be able to reintroduce foods. And I would recommend that the best thing that you can do from the get-go is to plan ahead. Because, you know, how the reason that I failed and why I was crying and had problems is because I recognized that the foods that were my go-to foods, I couldn't have too late. So I was starving and we're on the road and I open the glove box and I'm like, oh my gosh, this jerky has paprika and we've got hard boiled eggs in the cooler and all 7-Eleven has is nuts, you know? And then like all of a sudden the paleo foods that I'd come to know and lean on for the first couple of years were no longer foods that I could lean on. And then I was just starving, because the other thing that we're not talking about with AIP and that was really important for me because I don't have a gallbladder is that I had to focus on the fats that my foods were being cooked in. And you can't like go to a restaurant and get foods cooked in lard or coconut oil. Like it's just not a thing. And so I couldn't eat out. I couldn't find foods that were, you know, AIP on the road. And once I learned and once I found things like Epic Bars and that we made our own jerky at home and that kind of stuff, then it was like, okay, I can do this. Like, it's okay.
And there are some jerkies now that are AIP. And there are even restaurants now, you know, any farm-to-table restaurants are usually really good at accommodating autoimmune protocol.
Now I know of places that, you know, cook things in duck fat or whatever, but I mean, it's not like you're just driving along and that,
like,
wow, you know, like it comes up all the time.
Sweet potato fries over there. That's amazing. I'll go get those.
All right.
Unrefined sea salt. So it's a learning curve. So give yourself a break and don't be hard on yourself. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Because getting sleep makes all of the emotional aspects easier. And, you know, make sure you've got some supportive people in your life too. That can be a huge game changer.
For sure.
Which one do you want to do?
I think we should just do we can do Andrea's and Kate's, but
Facebook,
back and forth.
Facebook Live used to have a timer on it and they've ditched the timer.
It's been a while.
It's, a while.
About an hour.
Okay. So let's just do a couple short ones.
Okay.
And then we'll have to wrap it up.
Okay. AIP breakfast ideas.
Leftovers.
Soup.
Done. I mean,
sausage patty.
All of the AIP cookbooks out there have
fruit.
AIP sausage recipes. You know, so a homemade sausage. You can make them as patties. You don't have to stuff them into casings. Stuffing them in casings is a pain in the behind.
No. Yeah, you just make patties.
Yeah, just make patties and and some fruit and some sautéed vegetables, and it feels like breakfast, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I love soups and stews for breakfast, personally.
I don't have any soup or stew for you tomorrow morning.
It's cool. You're going to make me plantain waffles.
And I'm going to make you waffles.
I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited.
They're not AIP, though.
I don't care.
They have eggs.
I know, but I'm really excited about it. I would say, you know, the thing about soups and stews for me personally is, and anybody who has digestive issues, is eating foods that have already been partially digested, like a braised food, is going to be your best choice for your first meal of the day, because your body's been sitting for a really long time and hasn't, like, been digesting. It's been resting, and it needs help kind of getting started going again when your metabolism's just kicking in. So for me, braised foods, soups, and stews.
There's also
really
a lot
great.
Of good science supporting a high protein breakfast as being really health promoting. So that kind of hits two birds, two Pokemon.
With one ball?
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
We are such geeks. All right. Kate says, where can I hide liver in food?
You know, I think that depending on how strong the liver you have is, so I like to grind it and mix it with ground beef. And depending on how strong the liver you're dealing with is, you might want to mix it 1 part to 10 parts. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've got strong beef liver,
I recommend an people starting no more than 25%.
Per pound is great. I regularly do 25 to 30%. And I'm not willing to push it more than that because then I don't like the taste.
Yeah.
But so mixing it anywhere in that range. And then if it's too strong for you in like hamburger form, anything that you would use ground meat in is going to work. And the more spices you add, usually the more you'll mask the flavor. So something like a taco seasoning.
I like it a little more sweeter, you know, like if you're going with like a sage and cinnamon maple sausage, like that hides it. You know what I mean? Hides it pretty well for me.
Meat sauces.
The three places I like liver the best is jerky, because it changes the texture. A lot of people have an issue with liver texture.
So you're saying I should have bought the dog food?
We can also make your own. It's really easy.
Just saying, it was grass fed.
And what we do is we do like a round top, one of those lean cuts of beef. Matt takes care of it. I don't know. And then a liver.
That's a thing.
Then a liver, and then we mix them up. And so, like, when you reach into the bag, you're not quite sure what you're getting. And frankly, I usually can't even tell. And then I really like chicken liver gravy. Like, I really actually like chicken liver gravy. And that's really easy. You can just, like, cook it in your crock pot or your Instapot. Just put the livers in the bottom with the chicken juices. And then when you take the chicken out, just use an immersion blender or something like that to mix it all up. And it emulsifies and makes a gravy thicker. And it's got all these wonderful flavors incorporated into it. It's really fantastic. I found that first through Nom Nom Paleo. And then I put it in Beyond Bacon as a recipe for, pork liver. Because pork liver wasn't
pork
really...
Pork liver's strong.
It's really strong. And I was like, this is the only way that I'm tolerating pork liver. And then my third favorite application of liver is chicken liver mousse. Again, chicken liver is more subtle, so I wouldn't do that with like a beef or a pork liver.
No, you could probably do
like
it with
pate
like
or something
maybe.
People do. Yeah, but I like a chicken liver mousse. We have a recipe on our blog for both an AIP and a non-AIP version. And I eat those with apple slices. And again, I just find that my palate prefers the balance of the liver with something a little sweeter.
I have a recipe on my site for Spanish picadillo, which is, I mean, I always sort of think of it as like spaghetti sauce without the noodles, but it's like it's a Spanish stew, and it's an AIP version, and I make that fairly often with a little bit of ground organ meat in it, and it's got enough other flavors that it hides it. You could do like a traditional bolognese, or there's a AIP bolognese in the Paleo Approach cookbook that are excellent. So anytime there's other flavors going on, I think you've got a good place to hide it. And then just hide it to whatever works for you. So if it's 10%, it's 10%. You can maybe work your way up, or maybe you stay at 10%. But, you know, like, you get A pluses for trying.
Just don't be the person that was eating McDonald's yesterday and then you serve like liver meatballs to your family and then they tell you it's disgusting and you give up on everything. Like, just don't try to be that person that's like, I tried to go all in on day one and it didn't work, so I give up. You know, you can transition and you don't need to be eating liver from day one to get a majority of the benefit.
I mean, that'd be asking a lot from any palate.
Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I'm reading all your comments.
Now we're in the reading phase.
We need to be careful playing Pokemon. I'm like, yes, of course. Of course. That's why I go with my kids and we take turns, you know, being each other's lookout.
We don't drive in Pokemon.
No.
I mean, I'll sit in the passenger seat
in
Pokemon.
I give the phone to my kids and make them catch Pokemon while I'm driving.
Mystic. Just saying.
Yeah. All these Pokemon people.
So that's how far behind we are in the comments.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to
wrap it up.
Yeah, we're gonna have to just answer some of these. Hopefully we've covered a lot of basic topics.
What we'll actually do is, so I will go through and answer questions probably tomorrow. So hang tight, check back. I'll get to as many as I can. And what we'll actually do is we will take, you know, a selection of these questions and add them to our queue for the show.
Yep.
So if you've asked a good question here, if you want to quickly add one right now, we'll put it, start listening to the shows and it could be in there in the next few months. So questions are always great. And we both have question submission forms on each of our websites, so mm-hmm. you can always go there. If you have a more detailed question or a more private question that you don't want, just want to post on Facebook, that's totally okay, too. And you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and...
Stitcher.
I totally know. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. And for those of you on Sarah's Facebook page who don't know me, I'm Stacey Toth from paleoparents.com.
I tagged her in the description of this video, so you can click on that little blue Paleo Parents and go to Stacey and Matt's Facebook page and hit the like button there.
And if you're new because of Facebook Live and haven't heard that we have a podcast, it's The Paleo View. And again, you can find it in iTunes or Stitcher.
Over
200 episodes.
They're not all good.
You know what? I got a couple of comments from people who told me that they were tired of hearing us say that because they love the old stuff and that single one is worth listening to. And I was like, sorry. She was like, stop saying I'm sorry. I'm like, okay.
Okay, some people like them.
But yes, there's over 200 episodes. We've covered a lot of topics, and we've hit well over 3.5 million downloads at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where the comments were coming from. I was like, who would download our show?
That's a lot of...
Yeah, I think we're probably closer to the 4 million, because when Matt gave me the number, it was like a while ago.
That's either actually we have a pretty good audience, or six people just keep downloading it over and over again.
But, of course, you can find any of those shows on either of our blogs, because we do a blog post on it with show notes and links in all of those blog posts, as well as downloading on...
So our episodes come out Thursday evenings for subscribers.
Fridays
for everyone else.
We highly recommend you subscribe. And we're going to work on putting together some more unique content like we did today, and hopefully be able to roll that out to all of
our... Did you guys like the video format, actually getting to see us? We're going to scroll down. Scroll down and see. Or you guys can hit those like buttons since we can see the floating hearts if you like the video. I don't know.
No,
floating. Oh no! People like the video.
Nobody liked the video.
Too bad. Here's all the people. Okay, fine. Yes, loved the video. So,
Someone just asked about favorite paleo-friendly body products. I just want to say I'm actually testing some new products right now. I want to talk to you about them, actually.
Can we do a podcast about that in the future?
No. I'm not going to go into it. I just want to tell people that I am actually testing some new products, and I will be...
Look at all the people who crazy. Like the video format.
Yay!
Too
bad we don't live together.
We don't live together. But hypothetically, so we wouldn't be able to do this on Facebook because Facebook Live doesn't have a two-way thing.
You're trying to convince me to do Google Chat right now.
Yeah, so what would you guys think of YouTube Live?
Stop it! Don't do it!
Would you go over on a YouTube and watch live?
We record this in our jammies all the time. You usually have melatonin glasses on.
Yes.
You're telling me you're going to put on your face every time we record a podcast?
Yes.
People, come on. Maybe once in a while. Maybe a special occasion.
We will keep campaigning. I know you guys are all with me, right? Yeah.
You guys, I mean, just sometimes.
Look at all the hearts.
But you know what? Sometimes I don't want to wear a bra. It's just, it's a thing. It's good for you.
You can record from here up. It'd be fine.
I would feel so awkward.
That you would feel sneaky and devious.
Is anybody on my side here? Come on, guys.
Vote for YouTube.
So many people are voting for video.
You would feel like you were getting away with something if you were recording. You would feel like rebellious.
Once in a while. I like you, Doreen. I'm your friend. I'm okay with watching you.
That's
great.
<Kate.
laughs>
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, so Maureen, the problem with Facebook is that we live like a 10-hour drive apart. And so it's great for the once a year when we're in the same room. Roughly.
I mean, you should just come visit me more often. That would
clearly
solve all
I should
problems.
Come visit you like every week, right? Just be my like Sunday, like
just do it.
I would say nip up to DC,
yeah,
and
it take you 24 hours to drive up there, record a couple, drive back. I mean, it's only one day. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. I appreciate the two of you who said that you didn't need us to do video all the time.
They do want us to spend more time together.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't have a problem with that.
I think
we drove out of our way. We're here.
I really appreciate it.
I know. We appreciate
it. We're talking about doing a DC trip for the kids' fall break.
Excellent.
Right?
We're going to do it.
Yes. It's only 10 hours. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for participating. This was a really fun thing for us to do and completely unique. We've never even tried to do anything like this.
Even just a podcast in person makes me so uncomfortable. But I've pushed my awkward aside for all of you.
You did so well. You
only blushed like once or twice.
You kind of avoided eye contact with me for a lot of it.
That's okay.
We all noticed, right? There's a lot of this over the last hour. And then you would like glance up and be like, oh man, she's looking at me.
Eye contact.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, everyone, for participating. This was a really fun thing. And I will be doing my Monday Q&A probably early afternoon on Monday. So I'll be back to doing that every week now that the kids are back in school. And Stacey does Periscope. And
no, I haven't done it in a really long time. I'm really into Snapchat right now, which I'm trying to get Sarah on board.
Snapchat. Yeah, I don't have time for Snapchat.
It's so fun.
I know it's fun. I'm hunting Pokemon. So I have time to obsess over. Can't obsess over.
I'm doing both because that's the life I want to live.
I have work to do.
You have grown up responsibilities.
I have a book to write.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get to do either of those during the day. It's just at night. Anyway,
sad story.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.